Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
Mr. Sandman,
you get the idea?
Bring me a dream.
It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
It's a great program.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over. Sandman.
What is it?
It's exactly what I need.
It's a slam dunk.
It's great.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Please turn on your magic beam.
Here he comes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a
Here's David Hollander.
Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, and since it's almost Valentine's Day, I think about my sweetie. And then I think about dating or chemistry, and then it's just the way my mind works. I think about how that relates to what I do for a living. I only say this because the relationship between a financial advisor and a client, between me and you, is really a lot about chemistry. Are we compatible? Do you like me? Do I like you? Do we see eye to eye? Do I bring value to the table? Well, there's no rule that says you need to hire a professional to manage your financial life. It's perfectly okay to do it yourself. But do you want to spend your free time, your days of living your ideal retirement, doing research, trading, financial planning, money management, looking at taxes? Or are you looking forward to enjoying your life, your family, your kids, hey, maybe even your grandkids, and everything else that might come with your so-called golden years? That's what I thought. So if you're thinking about hiring an individual or a firm to act as your financial quarterback, well, then you're going to want to make sure you listen to the entire program today as we walk you through the five questions you need to ask any financial advisor before you work with them. Good morning and welcome to Protect Your Assets. I'm David Hollander, your host. You heard the jingle. I am the Sandman, and that's because I help my clients sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions. But I have a big announcement. Next week is FanFest week, FanFest 21. And for your chance to win an official FanFest 2021 Protect Your Assets Bluetooth speaker, go to knbr.com/protectyourassets to enter. It's going to start next week on Wednesday. Through all the big shows, Copeland, Murph and Mac, Papa, Lund, Tolbert, all your favorites, they're going to be awarding these speakers. So if you want your FanFest 2021 Bluetooth speaker, go to knbr.com/protectyourassets. So what's the number one biggest mistake that most people make when they hire a financial advisor? Well, I see this all the time. The biggest mistake that I see people make is they lack the discipline to stay involved when things go awry, or they fail to invest that cash in the bank with their advisor. Now, this happens. You hire somebody, you think everything's going along fine, and then March 23rd, like last year, occurs and starts to go down, down, down. And the person you've hired that you believe you will listen to, all of a sudden you can't. Your reaction takes over. Your body says, this is not healthy. I can't handle this. And that's a big mistake. With technology the way it is right now, you possibly could be a do-it-yourselfer because now it's easier than ever to get information. When I started back in the business back in the 90s, we had to fill out paperwork to open an account. You physically had to sign the paperwork. And then I had to go to the operations department to open it. Today, you can do it online. Heck, you can do it in a few minutes. My daughter just bought some wild currency thing, bought and sold it in a matter of an hour. Yeah. So now that that's so easy, you can invest straight from your couch. Hiring a financial advisor doesn't seem like maybe it's that necessary. But on the other hand, in order to hire one, it's going to take some due diligence and communication on your part to find the right person for you. So that begs the question, are financial advisors even worth the time, the energy, and the financial commitment that you're going to have to make? Well, that answer comes down to understanding how much time do you want to spend managing your investments? Your knowledge of investing, your discipline to stay the course when markets are difficult, how strong is that? 2020 showed me one thing, and that's our markets are really volatile. And unless you have a solid plan, your income will swing wildly depending on the structure of your portfolio. And so over the years, I've seen hundreds of different examples of how not to do things. And I can advise my clients of mistakes others have made before they make them. Now, whether they listen or not, it's up to them, but no going into it. That's why you're doing this, is to listen. And so if you can do that, then go forward. If you can't, then be real about it. Because let's face it, money is emotional. And last February, a year ago, the market started to drop 1,000 points a day. Remember that? Remember the week, February 23rd, the Dow dropped 1,028 points, then 877 points, then 1,192 points. It finished the week down 12.36% in a week. And several clients ignored our advice, wanted to sell, wanted to pull the money out of the market, go to cash. And this had a huge impact on their total return for the year because they missed out on the upswing. Because then the next question was, well, when do we get back in? You have to make two correct decisions. So when you decide to work with a financial advisor, recognize that a lot like a therapist or a doctor that you go to see, you need to listen to them to overcome your behavior because that gets you into trouble. And if you're honest with yourself and you can do that, then hire an advisor. But if you're not, if you really know, honestly, I'm not going to be able to do it, then don't hire one or don't tell them things that you're going to be able to do and then not do it because you're just hurting yourself. So listen to this. According to Vanguard, working with an advisor can add about 3%. You heard me right. 3% of additional return on average to your portfolio. So if you're thinking of working with an advisor, what are some big mistakes to avoid when you start your search? Well, the first one I see is focusing on past performance. Now, this happens all the time. Maybe you're with an advisor right now. And you start working with them, and after a few years, you feel like they're not making you enough money. So you start to question the relationship. You start to do research online, or you talk to your friends. And when you find that someone has done better than you, then you start the conversation with the new group. And of course, they're going to tell you what you want to hear, and that you should do something else. Why? Obviously, they want to manage the account. So when you hire an advisor, you're hiring more than just a money manager. A good financial advisor can provide holistic planning and guidance, not just returns. And if returns are all you're looking for, then tell your advisor that when you start the relationship. Don't act like you're really trying to pursue a life goal through the proper management of your resources if you're not. Because if you are, once again, your advisor should know what you're prepared to tolerate on the downside. Particularly with markets as high as they are right now, the downside's going to be steep when it comes. So how much of that pain can you tolerate each night? How much can you afford to lose and be able to maintain your income, your standard of living? Holistic planning allows you the opportunity to look at the big picture, your values, your investments, your expenditures. And they should be well laid out in writing in front of you. So those advisors who focus only on investment performance miss that picture. That's not what they're trained to do. And you need to know that. So be straight up with your advisor when you start to interview them and talk to them about what you really want. So remember, any investment strategy is no guarantee of long-term achievement. And likewise, any advisor you talk to about their performance last year that sounded better than you is no guarantee of what they're going to do in the future. Remember that. And so when you look at their past performance as an indicator of success or qualification as an advisor, that's a big mistake because the past does not guarantee what the future is going to look like. And I'm going to argue right now with the new administration, things have changed. And so since tomorrow is Valentine's Day, as I talk about Valentine's Day, it makes me think about dating, chemistry, and how that relates to what we do for a living. So the relationship between us and you is really about chemistry. And are we compatible? Are we communicating with each other properly, clearly? Are we enjoying the relationship? It's really important. It is a lot like dating if you think about it. Coming up next is time for our popular They Say segment, where they say hiring a financial advisor is a good first step to retirement. Is that always true? Remember, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Show. We'll be right back.
Times are changing. Some would say they've already changed. And how do you actually protect your assets? David Hollander's Protect Your Assets events focus on common financial concerns that individuals and families face in retirement. Things like how to prepare for unexpected medical expenses and ways to create income to help support your desired lifestyle. Join us at our next free event to learn how addressing these concerns can help you feel more confident about the days ahead and help you sleep better at night. Just go to pyaevents.com and reserve your seat today. That's pyaevents.com and sign up or join the wait list today. pyaevents.com. Enjoy the rest of the ride. Any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com. Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions. And next week, starting Saturday is going to be Fan Fest next week for all you Giants fans out there. So if you want to listen to it on a Bluetooth speaker, you can absolutely enter to win that at the official Fan Fest 2021 website. Go to knbr.com/protectyourassets and you'll see there's a link right there. You can click and register for that Bluetooth speaker they're going to be giving away starting next week. So if you just tuned in, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. And since it is Valentine's Day, I'm thinking about my sweetie. And I'm also thinking about what dating's like or chemistry, because when you have an advisor, hopefully it'll be for a real long time, just like your spouse or your girlfriend or boyfriend or partner, if you want to call that, whatever you want to do. It's up to you. So how you relate to that, how you relate to your relationship with that person, it's a lot like dating. It's a lot like hiring a financial advisor and making sure you're having a good relationship, having decent chemistry between you, communicating properly, making sure that you're both accomplishing what you're trying to do. Because right now, there is no rule that really says you have to hire a professional. It is so much easier now to do it yourself. There's robos, there's information out there. But you have to ask yourself the question, do you want to spend your time, your days in retirement, looking at the market every day, trading your account, trying to lay out your income each year, paying your taxes, how to avoid mistakes that people make all the time? Unless you're doing that type of work, how do you know? So if you're like most, if you're looking to enjoying your life and spending more time with your family, your kids, or even a new hobby, all those things you can do if you have an advisor on your team that's helping you through this. So if you're thinking about hiring somebody, then you want to make sure you hire the right person. And one way to do that is avoid the common mistakes that people make in the process. And now doing this for over 25 years, I've seen a lot of that. So today we're going through the five things you need to ask your financial advisor before you work with them. And in the last segment, I went over a few. And so I hope you're enjoying the show today. And if you are, then tell your friends about us. Or why not host a listening party with them? can text them right now so they can tune in to Protect Your Assets with you. So now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers, and here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
So here's one they say. They say that hiring a financial advisor is a good first step to retirement. And is that always true? Not always. So what do I mean by that? Well, you've heard this saying before, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. And what I mean by that is not understanding the difference between the different types of financial advisors. And so just to start out with the basic big broad strokes, you've got a fiduciary standard for one type of advisor, and then you have something called the suitability standard for another type of advisor. And just as the financial advisors can be holistic planners, they can also fall into one of these two camps regarding what's known as the level of care that they are, this is important, legally required to take when they advise you. And so if you're looking at a fiduciary standard of care, then what that means is legally they have to put your interest ahead of theirs. And if it's a suitability standard, then they just have to recommend to you investments which they believe, not what you believe, what they believe are suitable. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's the best thing for you. It just means that it's suitable. And there's a big difference legally in terms of liability between the two. So when hiring a financial advisor, first thing you want to ask them is, are you acting as a fiduciary? And make sure they give you a written agreement or a contract that spells out exactly what they're going to be doing for you. Next, the next big mistake I see all the time is that people don't vet an advisor's credentials. And again, I talked about that term, the financial advisor. Think about that. It's a catch-all title that doesn't really mean anything. The person could be an investment advisor. They could be an insurance agent. Or they could be a holistic financial planner. Before you even seek to hire a financial advisor, get clear on what you are looking for. Are you trying to lower your taxes each year? Are you trying to figure out how to not outlive your money in retirement? Are you concerned about the volatility in your portfolio? What about the medical bills that you're going to pay if you have to go on Medicare or if you switch jobs? These are all very good questions. And these are all questions that a properly trained financial advisor, again, could help you with if they have that sort of experience. So designations like the Certified Financial Planner or Chartified Financial Consultant, those are holistic focused. And that means that these advisors have had training in setting goals and reaching those goals, taxes, risk management. And so find out when you interview multiple advisors and their clients what sort of experience they've had. Because I'll tell you what, I see this all the time. Many advisors are very nice people and you like them instantly. And so the first one you meet, you may say, okay, that's it. I'm ready to go. But that doesn't mean your process should end there. And so as part of the research that you should do, interview multiple advisors to make sure there is a good fit personally and that the investment style that they use matches what you're expecting. So if you interview multiple advisors, you're more likely to identify which traits are more important to you with one advisor than another. In order to truly succeed with an advisor, you need to find one who focuses on education and coaching to help you make better decisions. And this is really true right now, if you think about it, because economic and market data uncertainty is at all-time high levels. And there's so much of it. There's social unrest. Taxes are going to be going up. Markets are going to change. In fact, they are changing right now. And so I recommend using advisors who have investment philosophies that are rooted in academic principles and scientifically tested theories, not just stock pickers. We do have a call. We have Sarah. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, David.
How are you this morning?
Doing well, thank you.
Oh, great. So what brings you to call in this morning?
I was just calling because I was probably one of those apprehensive people about hiring an investor and, the relationship with the investor. And I went ahead and went with you guys. I have my great advisor, Matt. And we have been going through some very interesting times of late and preparing for retirement and had just the most incredible experience yesterday, presenting a lot of information on some moving parts and a pending retirement. And it was that experience yesterday validated the right decision to go with an advisor.
Well, Sarah, thank you. That really helps that you explain that. I'm glad Matt is doing a good job. But I wanted to ask you specifically, were you talking about, I know earlier I was talking about some different subjects, and was there something related to health that you discussed yesterday?
Yes, we had a health situation that we had to consider when my husband's retiring, and we're looking at Medicare options.
Very good. Okay, so Medicare is super confusing, as we all know. And so I guess the question was, when you left the afternoon, did you feel like you had a better understanding of your options when it came to Medicare and your health benefits now that he's retiring?
Absolutely, because of the information that our advisor was able to provide, and then the resource he pulled into the call when we had questions that were very specific, and he pulled that resource in, and they were able to answer every question. And probably for the first time ever, I felt very comfortable with the pending retirement and our plan and the decisions we had made. I always love working with you guys, don't get me wrong, but you're always nervous. Are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready? And it felt very, very positive that yes, we're ready and we have the answers we need to proceed with his retirement this year.
Well, Sarah, thank you. I really appreciate you calling in and giving us the feedback. I love to hear that, and I'm glad that it worked out. And if anything ever comes up, you always know how to reach us, and please reach out. So I'm glad that worked out. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, David.
You bet. Bye. Take care. So speaking with more than one advisor as you set up your plan is a great idea, of course. But, of course, we want to hear that sort of feedback because Medicare is complicated. And it's confusing. And until you turn 65, there are lots of choices that could cause, let's face it, negative financial impacts if you do something incorrectly. So much around that subject. So let me ask you a question. You may be saying, I have an advisor, I'm fine. But let me ask you a question. Have you readjusted your portfolio for the new Democratic-controlled government? Because it's not about changing your advisor. It's about becoming more informed. And it always makes sense to be more informed because you don't know what you don't know. And you just heard an example about Medicare and how even though we had been working for a while together, this issue just came up. And it's a big one. And we were able to pull in a resource that answered that question. And now that person feels a lot better. And let's face it, isn't that what it's all about? Coming up next, how can you figure out what you're paying for when you do get financial advice? We'll find out when I come back. Keep it right here.
If you missed any of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, all you have to do is go to pyaradio.com where you can download or listen to our latest shows for free. Just go to pyaradio.com on your computer or mobile device when it's most convenient for you. That's pyaradio.com.
Welcome back. Next week, next Saturday, FanFest 2021 is kicking off. So if you want to get yourself the official FanFest 2021 Bluetooth speaker, courtesy of KNBR, then go to knbr.com/protectyourassets for your chance to win an official FanFest 2021 Protect Your Assets Bluetooth speaker. And then tune into the show next Saturday. Well, we'll be announcing some of the winners. Happy to give those away. So today we're talking about how hiring a financial advisor is a lot like dating, and what are some of the five things you need to know to avoid making a mistake when you do that. And next week, we've got some birthdays. And let's start out with Mike Berry, Deborah Bradley, my mom, Diana Benenson, Tony Lee, and Lynn Solberg. Happy birthday to all of you. Hope you have a great happy birthday and enjoy your week. So retirement is a major transition. It's made up of many financial as well as life decisions that you need to get right to enjoy the best possible retirement. And of course, no one gets 10 out of 10, but it's nice to get up in the upper level, isn't it? So today we're talking about how hiring a financial advisor who hopefully has a lot of experience, a lot of memories and stories and seen a lot of things, how they can hopefully improve your life. So it's a mutually beneficial experience because that's really what it's all about. So how much should you pay or do you pay for advice? This has become a very complicated question because there's so many different types of advice that you can receive. So you need to understand what it is that you're after in terms of what you're trying to accomplish. Now, what do I mean by that? Start out with the simple things like, are you trying to lower the risk or volatility in your portfolio? If it just seems too volatile, if you can't handle the down percentages that you see, like we saw last March, then that should be a warning sign to you that you need to fix that. Well, what about this? What about paying less taxes? Do you feel like you need to pay less taxes? Let's face it. It's coming up April 15th. That's the date. You're going to be filing. You're going to be looking at that check you're going to be writing or that you've paid. Maybe you'll get a refund because maybe you've been paying too much. But the reality, if you're trying to pay less in taxes, you need to get some help around that. And what about Social Security or Medicare? Those are very important benefits that you've paid into all these years, and now you need to access them. And try picking up the phone right now and calling them yourself and find out how frustrating that can be. So if you're trying to get advice around how to do that, because that's not your specialty, then write that down. And when you interview the person, find out what they charge to give you that kind of advice and what you should expect in terms of a result. There's nothing wrong with asking them right up front or as part of that conversation. In fact, you need to do that. What is this going to cost me? And in today's financial advisory world, this should be your number one focus when you try to understand how someone is going to help you. And whether or not you're going to pay what you're going to pay for, because it's important. You don't want the advisor feeling like you're taking advantage of them or their staff, just like you don't want to feel that way either because you thought that Social Security was just covered in the annual fees that you were paying. So try to break it down like this. Asset management. What is that? That's monitoring and trading your account, and that's a fee. There's a fee to do that. Just like preparing your taxes, there's a fee to do that. Just like creating and monitoring your financial plan, someone's got to do that work. And so there's money that has to be paid to those people to do that. And so those fees could be blended in certain things like commissions. And so commissions are compensation that the advisor receives through a commission by you purchasing a financial product that pays them that way. And maybe you've never seen that or you don't know how that works. And you should ask that question. How does that work? What does it cost me? The next area is something called advisory fees. This is a true fiduciary who simply charges you for their time. It could be by the hour. It could be per appointment. It could be a flat negotiated rate. There are also fees known as account level fees. Now, this could be buried in the prospectus, like an expense ratio, a 12B1 fee, it's called, another one. There could be turnover costs when they trade the portfolio. And most accounts charge something known as an annual maintenance fee. So you want to be aware of all these internal costs, not just what the advisor is quoting you, what their fee is, because there could be other fees. So ask, what are all the other fees? Next, transaction costs. Anytime you buy or sell a security, it costs money. I know some of these firms advertise there's free trading, but what are you actually buying? And is there internal costs within those things that you're ending up owning? It's not free. Nothing's free. How can anybody work for free? I mean, be real. So where are the costs and what's it costing you? Dig into it a little bit. Find out. Because I think the best practice is to be clear on what your objective is and then ask any prospective advisor what they're going to charge you to get what you are after, period. It's just that simple. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team for putting together another entertaining show today. My executive producer and network manager, Kevin Renfer. And of course, all my fabulous producers doing all the work back there as well. Danny, Phil, Felicia, Amanda, and Brett. Because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence. And the legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. The views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.